Good morning and welcome to our church service today. My name's Katrina. I'm part of the ministry team here, and it is great to be here together online to worship with our Benefice family in Coatsbatch, Bitterswell and Lutterworth. And if it's your first time joining us, hello, welcome. You're so welcome. We're glad you're with us to be part of God's wider family, to join together and to worship him. We're going to be thinking about the ascension today, how Jesus ascended into heaven, as we look at the next bit of our Apostles' Creed that we've been working our way through. To help us to prepare our hearts and to think on Jesus and to dwell on his greatness, we're going to pray the prayer of preparation. Here come the words up on the screen. Please do join in with me. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. So often, as the week goes on, we forget who he is. We ignore him. We disobey him. And so we're going to come now to the part where we can be real with God, where we can bring all of our brokenness and confess to him who we are and what we've done, and know that he is the mighty one who forgives us. So would you join with me in our confession? Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
This morning's reading is taken from chapter 1 of Ephesians, beginning at verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope for which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, it's great to be with you as we look at the next line of the Apostles' Creed. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Jesus, how he is both God and man. That there in that man walking around on earth was all the fullness of God. So you could go up and you could shake God's hand. But how he used that power, and last week we saw how this awesome creator come in created form used his power and authority to serve, and so we went to the cross. And so today we look at the next lines of that creed. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. You see, what we're doing at the moment is we're going back to basics, and I think it's the right thing to do at the moment. We're in a world that is unrecognisable from the world we knew 6 months ago, where there is so much uncertainty, we don't know what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks, let alone in the next few years. We're looking for strength, we're looking for clarity, we're looking for leadership. And one of the things I think the church can do is, whilst being ever present and hopeful and active and looking to the future, and we can also be those who look back. And so today what we're doing is we're going to look back to Jesus. And look back to what happened in the past and what will happen in the future. And as we go to past and future, we will begin, I hope, to understand more and more about where we are now. About the kind of lives that we can live. And in fact, we're looking at the book of Ephesians. Because one of Paul's main concerns in this letter is to encourage these Christians to stand firm. To stand firm. And he prays that if they're going to stand firm, they would have knowledge. Did you notice that? For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, his incomparably great power at work for us who believe. You see, there is something in knowledge, and I don't mean merely intellectual knowledge, but real heart investment, understanding, believing, absorbing, appreciating, enjoying kind of knowledge that will enable us to stand firm in these times. And this is only going to come about through the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul asks, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Let's pray for that now. Lord our God, we do pray that you would reveal yourself to us today through your word. We know that without your revelation, we are only guessing. And so we pray that you would speak to us and open the eyes of our hearts to accept your truth. Amen. So to start at the beginning, let's remember what has been the experience of every human being. It is that we are born, or we live, and we die. Why am I standing outside next to this wall? I know I'm a hip pastor, but why do it? And it's not just for a cool backdrop, it's to illustrate this point that for each one of us, we've been born, we've lived, and we've died. And we know that that is our fate. We don't know many things that are going to happen in our lives, but we know we're going to die. And so it could be as an infant, and it could be as somebody who's lived 100 years or more. But we know that one day we will come to the wall. This final kind of deadline. And that will be the end of our lives. And ever since the beginning, ever since Adam and Eve, that has been the right consequence of our lives. Of lives that are, whilst containing so much good, are also full of mess, of greediness, of sinfulness, of bitterness, of rebellion against God. And so we learn that man is destined to die once and after that face judgment. But not so Jesus. Remember, we thought about how he was born of a virgin, God and man, and he lived a life of sheer perfection. And not perfection in some sort of, wasn't he amazing at everything, but in perfection that he walked the true human life of one submitted to the Father, of one who knew what it was like to be in relationship with God and not stray. And so when Jesus was born and lived, and died, death couldn't hold him. But look back at our passage. Look there down at verse 19-20. The mighty strength that God exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. God's mighty power raised Christ from the dead. So for most of us, we're born, we live, and we die. We're born, we live, and we die. We're born, we live, and we die. That's one. For all of us, we're born, we live, and we die. We're born, we live, and we die. We're born, we live, and we die. But for Jesus, he was born God in human form. He lived a perfect life. And so when he died, he didn't die the death that he deserved. No, as we learnt last week, he took upon himself all of our sin, all the guilt that we owe. And so when he died, he didn't die his death, but he died our death. He died in our place. And so it is that in verse 19-20 we read, the mighty strength that God exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand. We all are born, we live and we die. We're born, we live and we die. Jesus was born. He lived, and he died. And as he died, he ripped death apart. Death could not hold him. Such was his awesome power and might. And so, as we look now to death, well, we can look at it completely differently. We can look at it knowing that Jesus, as he fulfilled his Father's plans, as he fulfilled his earthly purpose, he died our death. And as he died our death, so he is raised again. He's raised again by God's mighty power. And it's not just that. Let me illustrate the next thing that we read here. And not just that it's God's mighty power, but look at this. The prayer here that Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your hearts may be opened, enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. So what he says here is he says the same power that raised Christ from death, that broke the grave, that destroyed the great wall of death, that every human being had faced, that same power is at work for us who believe today. That if you trust in Jesus, you're not merely trusting in something that's past, but something that is present, something that is future. Let me illustrate that for you. See, the other thing is that when Jesus died, he didn't just go through by himself. In fact, it was God's mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. And so when Jesus goes through, in fact, it is... it's like he goes through almost with a kind of rescue line around him. So that he goes through, breaks death by God's mighty power. And so he pulls us with him. He pulls us with him. And see, that's the wonderful news. Now, the problem is for us these days is that we all live this side of the wall. You see, we still, you know, walk to church through a cemetery. Or we still grieve, people are dying, we still get ill, we still live this side of the wall. But we forget that Jesus has gone through. And so our existence is on that side of the wall at the moment. But it's like this line goes through and Jesus is holding us tight. And he's holding us saying, you will come. And so do you see how Jesus' resurrection and ascension in the past and his and our one day resurrection are linked because Jesus broken death and made a way. He's made a way so that we can be saved. Not just saved and forgiven now, but saved and raised forever. And the other thing that happens, of course, is that this power isn't just about the future. It's about here and now. That what we do is we are so connected with Christ. We're in Christ by faith. That we can know on this side of the wall that even when things are tough, we've got the strength and power to stand firm. Because God's powerful. So imagine almost, stay there, girls. Almost like Jesus holding on to us. He's got us solid, and we can't see because we live in this world, and yet Jesus can see. And the true reality is that he has risen and ascended. He is safe with God, and therefore Paul can say our lives are hid with Christ in God, that our security is anchored with him. The other thing we see that Paul brings out here about the ascension is that Christ is seated. Did you see that? God's mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. When is it that you sit down? I mean, you might sit down for a brief break, or I suppose many of us now work at computers sitting down. Many of us sit down because we've got nothing better to do. But this kind of sitting down is the sitting down when the job is done. Imagine you've spent the day out in the garden, and at the end you pour yourself a drink and you sit in the garden and you enjoy the fruit of your labours. Or this is even more that. It's the sitting down of the victorious king following the great battle as he is enthroned. That's what happens here. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. That Jesus is the one above everyone. The one above every rule, every power, every military strength. The one above every disease, every illness that we fear. The one above even our own fears and anxieties themselves. Jesus rules. The one over the tax man and the debt collector. The one over the boss who pays you or doesn't. Far over the parent who is unjust or the police mistake leading to some sort of injustice in the court system, Jesus rules over. Jesus rules over every global initiative, over every attempt to deal with COVID-19. Jesus rules over it all. Nothing is outside of his awesome power. Not just because of who he is. We looked at that back in our second week in this series. The God who is almighty, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. God is almighty. No, but this is Jesus. Not just because of who he is, but because of what he's done. He has achieved the great victory. And so now he is enthroned on high. Do you see that? God has placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything. Get the image here of a wrestler who at the end of the wrestling match stands proudly, foot on the neck of the person they've just defeated, victorious. And what God has done, God the Father has done, is taken everything and put it under the feet of Jesus. You rule. You're in charge. What you say goes. And can you think of a better ruler than the servant king? Can you think of somebody who prefer to make decisions than somebody who's been a victim of injustice themselves? Can you think of somebody you'd more prefer to have in that position than somebody who knows what it's like you, to be human and weak in the way that humans are weak, to be frail and to struggle, to be tempted in every way? Somebody who understands, who appreciates, who sympathizes, but rules nonetheless. That's Jesus. And that's what the ascension means. It means that the one who is in charge is the one who died. Jesus is ascended, and it is wonderful news. Ascension Day is this Thursday. And I think until I got ordained, I didn't realize there was a day in the calendar called Ascension Day. It used to be quite a big deal. Children used to get a half day's holiday because of it. And I think so often we focus very rightly on Jesus' death and resurrection, but we forget that now he is ascended and seated. So we can have great confidence when we pray. You see, when we pray, we're not coming to one among many gods, hoping that maybe they can wrestle it out and our God will win and we'll get what we want. No, we come to the ruler of the world, we come on our knees and we submit our request to him, trusting that he knows best, and yet bring our needs to him. We have great confidence that we'll be heard. And not only heard by the one in charge, but heard by one who sympathizes, who knows what it's like to be hungry and tired and weak, who knows what it's like to face the realities of this life. And so we can have great confidence when we pray. We can also have great confidence when we suffer, because we know that because he rules, any suffering we go through must be part of his plan, even though we might not understand it now. We might understand it for many millennia to come, but he's in charge. And so when we come to him suffering, we know that he sympathizes and we know he can do something about it. In fact, we know that he is. And in all things, he is working together for the good of those who love him. We're going to have great confidence when we suffer, to persevere, because we have an anchor that is in heaven, that our lives are connected with Jesus. And that no matter what happens to us in this life, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We put our trust there. And there it remains, safe with him. And so we can have great confidence, even when we mourn, when we come to acknowledge that our lives are fleeting, when we come to say farewell, that Jesus Christ died, rose, and is ascended. And so even our lives are safe with him. And if today you have been listening to this thinking, well, it's very interesting, and I'm quite liking logging into church, but I wouldn't call myself a Christian. Let me tell you, go back to basics, ask the questions, look at the evidence, look at Jesus, because he is the one enthroned on high, and he longs for everyone to come and know him. In fact, he is drawing people to himself. So let's celebrate, let's rejoice, let's live in the truths that we've been thinking about today. Let's come and let's put our trust, or seek God's mighty power at work in our lives. Come to him confidently in prayer. And rather like somebody being thrown a kind of life rope. You know, you're down in the sea and you're drowning and somebody throws you a line. And your job is just to hold on. If anything, you're just going to put it around you and let them pull you up. Let them do the work. That's what we need to do. That's the call on everybody. To come and to trust, to come and to put our trust in the Lord Jesus and let him save us. So that when we look up to the throne that he is seated on, we look and find our Saviour. If that's not you, if you haven't yet put your trust, if you haven't yet given in and acknowledged your need for rescue, then do it today. And if you're on that journey, if you have put your trust, well, know God's mighty power at work in you and for you. Hold on and let him hold you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that by your mighty power you raised Christ. And he is now ascended and you have seated him next to you, putting all things under his feet. And so give us great confidence, we pray, that we might stand firm. Amen.
We come to that time in our service, the last few weeks, and I've loved this, being able to affirm together, to say together who it is and what it is that we believe. And that's by standing together or sitting where we are and saying the Apostles' Creed, reading it out, and just like many that have gone before us, just declaring who it is and what it is that we are trusting in with our lives. Let's say this together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What amazing words and amazing truth that we can stand and say together.
Let us pray. Glorious Father, God of our Lord Jesus Christ, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. May the eyes of our heart be enlightened that we may know the hope to which you have called us. Amen.
Dear God, please help villages and towns around the UK to get through this tough lockdown. And especially we think of everyone living in Lutwyffe, Coatspatch, Bitterswell and other local villages. We want to thank you for Lutwyffe Crisis Action. Thank you for all the volunteers helping support people locally. Also, please help the church to keep going with the weekly services until it is safe to go out again so we can meet together and worship you. Thank you, God, that you have helped the NHS to save hundreds of lives from the coronavirus. And please help them to keep going over the coming weeks and months. Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you that your power is incomparably great and that you are in control of everything. Thank you that you use governments around the world to make decisions about how people should try and live their lives. We pray for the government in this country that you would give them your wisdom and revelation to make the right decisions as how to deal with the coronavirus crisis in this country. Please help Boris Johnson and his ministers and the leaders of the devolved governments in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland to get the right balance between protecting public health and also protecting people's jobs and livelihoods. Please would you encourage Christian MPs and civic leaders to be good witnesses to the faith, hope and love that they have in you, such that they would stand out as shining lights in the world and be an encouragement to others to follow you. Please work through our political leaders at this time to encourage unity and a common purpose, to create a society that better reflects your will and that you would bring about real change in this country that results in more people knowing you. Amen.
Dear God, thank you for all the key workers around the world risking their lives for us. Thank you for the World Health Organization doing the best they can to help everyone to stay safe. Thank you for all the governments taking a stand to get us through the lockdown. Please help people in other countries, for example America, through their suffering and pain as they have lost friends and family members throughout COVID-19. Please help those countries who do not have the equipment and skills to deal with this virus as they suffer in this dark time. Please help people recovering from COVID-19 to get better and return home to their families. Thank you for your love at this time, and thank you we can support each other. Amen.
Dear God, I pray that all Christians around the world, like in our passage from Ephesians, will be enlightened in order that we all may know the hope to which he has called us. Wherever our fellow Christians are, I pray that they are safe and are still managing to spread your word through social media and doing live church services on the internet. Thank you for all these resources. Please help all Christians who are struggling against opposition. In countries such as China, where only 4% of the whole country are Christians, to stay strong and to know that they have an amazing God on their side. Please help everyone to continue to pray and to connect with you through your word in the Bible, even though we can't meet in person. Amen.
Let's join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Hasn't it been wonderful to just come together as church family to fix our eyes on the risen Lord Jesus and to celebrate who he is and what he has done for us?